our radio program with Philip Van Winkle.
C.S. Lewis said of Jesus, "You have three options when faced with this man Jesus. He is either Lord, he is a liar, or he is a lunatic." Well, was he a liar? You'll remember his enemies tried to trap him. They tried to catch him in words, and they never found a single mistake. Certainly they never found a lie. Through the centuries following the death of Jesus, atheists have tried but have failed to point out a single contradiction or mistake that Jesus ever made. So he was no liar. Well, was he a lunatic? Well, how about the night that he was taken before he went to the cross? On a night that he was under extreme emotional stress, physical abuse, sleep deprived, food deprived. Now put what he has said under a microscope. From the time they took him in to the time they nailed him to the cross, you could not have found better answers to the questions they were asking him if you had hours and hours to sit and think about it. So he was not a lunatic. His teachings have and still are revolutionizing this world. He wasn't a lunatic. That only leaves him as our Lord. He had a sound mind. He wrote this will and testament willingly and freely. In fact, Paul writes in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, he says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." In fact, look at what Jesus says in John chapter 10, beginning in verse 17. He says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself." This was of his own free will. But now let's talk about the application process of this very point. Now folks, these next four points come from the pen of Wayne Jackson, and there's no greater way to say it than how he wrote it. He says, first of all, two wills or two testaments cannot be in effect at the same time. If you have your Bibles, open them to Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 14 and 15 in just a minute. Here you have a problem that affected the early church. These Jews had grown up, and they lived, and their parents had died under the Old Testament. They had the sacrifices and the priesthood. They ate and they dressed according to that old law. They took yearly trips to Jerusalem, and so they grew up and they knew deeply that law of Moses. But I want us to see this in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14. "For he is our peace, who hath made both one," that is Jew and Gentiles. "He hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." So listen, under this new law, he has made it possible for Jews and Gentiles to be together. Now, Wayne Jackson also wrote an article in which he states, "There was actually a literal wall. The Gentiles could come to part of the temple, and they could buy and sell, and there were people there who could teach the Gentiles from the Torah. There were steps that went up, and at the top of the steps was a chest-high wall. And on the wall, they've excavated a sign that says something to this effect. It says, any Gentile passing this point is responsible for what happens in the event of his death. In other words, if you're a Gentile and you pass this wall, you're going to die." It was a wall of partition, and it kept the Gentiles separate from the Jews as they went into the temple to worship. Now, we don't know for sure if that is what this verse has reference to, but it paints a nice picture of what the verse actually means. No longer is there a barrier separating Jews from Gentiles anymore. And so again, in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 14, we read, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make of himself two, one new man, and so making peace, that he might reconcile both," talking about Jew and Gentiles, "unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." So now in the church, we have two parties, and both are equal. They continued to have problems with it, even in the early days of the church. They continue to try to carry over certain things from their Old Testament days to try to marry them in with the New Testament. And when we sit down to talk to someone about the Bible, we need to make sure that they understand what we are talking about here today. They will be just as likely to go over to the book of Psalms to try to find what God wants them to do as they are to go over to the book of Ephesians. There are some who want to worship on the Sabbath, and they say, well, we need to keep the Sabbath day, and they turn back over to the Old Testament to show you. But while they're there, on that Saturday, the Sabbath day, that they take from the Old Testament, they're going to partake of the Lord's Supper. But wait a minute. The Jews didn't partake of the Lord's Supper in the Old Testament. They had to make animal sacrifice. They didn't have Christ as their immediate sacrifice, not during the Old Testament. And so it is either take the Old Testament and keep those Old Testament sacrifices and leave the Lord's sacrifice out, or take the Lord's sacrifice and keep out the Old Testament Sabbath. Worship on the first day of the week, just as we're told in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, and in Luke 22, verse 30. That's in the New Testament. You don't try to marry the two together. Some today have decided that they will indeed worship on Sunday, as it says in the New Testament. But then they're going to put a musical instrument on the stage, or maybe over to one side. Generally, when you talk to someone about this issue, they'll be absolutely sincere. The problem is that they have not fully grasped the idea of a new will and testament. You say, well, where in the Bible do we today have the authority to use instruments? And the very first place that they go is to the book of Psalms. Now, what part of the Bible is the book of Psalms in? Is it before or after the new will, the one that Jesus had written? Well, it's before it, isn't it? And so the point is this. Two wills cannot be in force at the same time. Next, once a testament has been verified, it cannot be altered. If you have a will right now, at any time you can go and you can change it. You can write someone in your will, or you could write someone out of your will. You can change it to include children or even exclude them if you want. As long as you continue to live, you can change your will however you like. But once you die, however your will is, that is how it is. Jesus died, and his will is how it is. Now, we'll not take the time to mention in detail today, but someone might say, well, what about that thief on the cross? Friend, when Jesus was on the earth, he could do what he wanted. He could save who he wanted by just his word. He could say, your sins are forgiven you, take up your bed and walk. As long as he lived, he could do his will however he wanted. But after he died, friends, what went into effect? Well, his last will and testament. The thief lived before Jesus ever died. Before Jesus ever uttered the words, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, the thief was dead and gone long before Jesus said those words. Those words were after his resurrection. Then also today, you know, a testament or a will may be conditional. You might say in your will, I give my belongings to my child once he graduates from college. Well, now your child cannot have your possessions or your money until they fulfill the requirements of graduating from college. Christ's last will and testament is conditional. Here are the conditions, even to become a child of God. First of all, he has said that you must believe that Jesus is indeed the Son of God, and you can find that in John chapter 3 and verse 16. You then must repent of your sins, as we are told in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. You must confess Jesus as the Son of God, just like the Ethiopian did in Acts chapter 8. You must then be baptized, that is, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, as we're told in Acts 2:38 and 1 Peter 3:21. And that is how you become a child of God. That is what it says in the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. And then, friends, you and I must live faithful until we die. And that is found over in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. This is Christ's last will and testament for us today.